Dalad Nisan Siman Kuf Yudalad Halacha Yud Gimel. We're going to Siman Kuf Tesvav Halacha Gimel. So the end of the halachas that we're discussing is regarding Chometz Avalav Pesach. That means to say, we tried whatever we can do in order to get rid of our chometz. At the end of the day, if a Jew did not sell his chometz, one is not allowed to enjoy from that chometz after Pesach. If someone is suspected of not taking care of his chometz, so the Kitzur says you have to be careful not to purchase from that person chametz. Of course, this applies to many of the shilas of the supermarkets, ShopRite, all the whole list. And there are different opinions. Some say, listen, at the end of the day, chametz avala pesach is derabanan. And if you have a bona fide suffix or doubt, it's difficult to really clarify. So the halacha is a suffix derabanan, we go the kula. And therefore they're lenient. Some say, no, let's wait a certain amount of time, either to Lag Ba'omer or even to Shavuos, based on the shelf. At that point, you know for sure that already they switched the shelves and have new merchandise. That's not Chometz Shavuot HaPesach, meaning Chometz that wasn't sold. So there's certainly, I would say, levels of what a person who's scrupulous wants to, how far they want to go. There's also a debate if a store sells their Chometz but continues to sell their Chometz, meaning they sell their Chometz to a non-Jew, but they're nevertheless continuing to sell their merchandise. This is a major discussion. Moshe Feinstein, the Chatzadik Tivach, has a truth about this also. It doesn't invalidate the actual sale itself, even though technically they should not be selling. So that's a very interesting debate. And now the Kitzur actually presents us with his Shtar Mechirat Chametz and Nusach of the Shtar Mechirat Chametz. I'm not going to go through the Hocha. It's worthwhile to read through. The article has a beautiful translation. Some kids I saw they even took it out, but in the Piskei Torah doesn't even have it. And the reason why is because it gives you a flavor, but it's not the one that we use today. Certainly different details, because this is really describing what an individual Jew taking care of his chametz. In the old days, they did it individually. Today, we do it through a rabbi, especially that the chametz that we have, one doesn't necessarily know how to get rid of it, the exact formula. So there's different acquisitions. If you also want a nice Marim Mokim, as Rabbi Blumenkranz, Zichat Tzadik Tivrach, is beautiful. Sefer that they put up for Pesach, he has a nice description of his own Rebbe, or Moshe Feinstein, exactly what he did and how he explained to the non-Jew, and the different forms of acquisition. What's the reason why we do so many kinyan and what's called different transactions is because there's a major debate in the Rishon in which one works. Is it kesef? Is it money that works? So therefore, if the non-Jew gives us money to purchase the chametz, that should work. Now, he's not giving us the entire amount because it's a lot of money. So he gives us a down payment. I saw Moshe actually would hold that the rest of it we lend him, meaning we don't want him to owe anything to the sale itself. Although clearly we have to make sure that he understands that he bought the chametz, it's his. We give him right away. We do other acts of acquisition or transactions. For example, we do what's called acknowledgement, oidita. Interesting that Tiksei says for some reason they left it out. Today, most of the Rabbanim will use that. They use a kinyan chalipin, they use a kinyan shtal, they use a kinyan kalka, where you're renting or leasing your area, or an area in your house, to the non-Jew, and through dint. Dint means agav, and there's a major debate exactly in the translation. If you look actually in the glossaries of the arts of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, how he changed based on the Tshuva from the Chasam Sefer. So all these are very interesting halachas, and of course you should do it with a rabbi that knows what they're doing. Some do it with a basin, that's what Moshe held. At least three dayanim that are involved in the sale. And at the end of the sale, we say hefka basin, hefka, just in case it didn't work. And any sale actually works, but meaning to say after Pesach, even if one of the acquisitions didn't work, we rely on that one acquisition worked, and it's Chometz Shavuot HaPesach, we said, is the Rabbanan, so therefore, afterwards, you'd have nothing to worry about if the sale took place. Okay, there's an interesting discussion, but if a non-Jew dies, what happens? Be'erusha, I think we mentioned this, but let's go now to the next Siman. Siman Kuf Tes Vav starts the laws of El Pesach Chalas B'Shavas. I'm not mistaken, I think it's next year. Double check the calendar. I forgot to look it up. But what's Er Pesach Chalas B'Shavas? This is really cool, because until now we're discussing when Er Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, is, let's say, like this year, a regular day of the week. So the night of the 14th we do B'dikas Chametz, and already the next night is Pesach. What happens if it's Er Pesach that comes out on Shabbos? So that means that after Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, is when you're going to celebrate Pesach. Now the problem is, the night, Friday night, which is the 14th, you obviously can't do B'dikas Chametz, you can't light candles, you can't do a B'dika. So what do? So everything is moved really to Friday. And Thursday night is when we do the B'dika. And then there's a discussion of how careful we have to be, because at the end of the day, we're going to be eating Chametz On Shabbos. Now, the custom is, to quickly summarize, the custom today is to have bread, challah, small challahs for Shabbos itself. And as we're going to see, we split the meal Shabbos morning. So you have Friday night, Shabbos morning, we split the meal, and we make sure to finish eating by the fourth hour. And then we get rid of the chametz, flush it down the toilet because you can't burn it. And then you say the bittul to make sure that you got rid and you were mevatel any chametz that was left. Now the rest of the food they cook today, most people will cook with Pesach utensils, and therefore, or at least the disposable utensils. So this way, there's no concern of using utensils and getting a good chametz stick, which the kitzur is going to discuss. There's another eitz, another possibility, and that is what Moshe Feinstein writes, which is really based on the Ramah, that you could use what's called egg matzah. Usually, we don't have egg matzah Erev Pesach, but when it comes to Erev Pesach, Shchalis B'Shav, there's more room to be lenient. Some, by the way, do not split the meal into two. They have fruits and vegetables for Shalosh Shudis after Mincha time, meaning after already half an hour after Chatzos. The reason why is because not everyone agrees that you could be Yotze Shalosh Shudis in the morning before Chatzos. What the Mishnah Berurah suggests is to do both, to split your meal. Splitting a meal includes taking a break in the middle, at least for half an hour, take a walk or something. Some rely on a little bit less than that, 15 minutes or something, even Dalai Lama, just a small break. And then you wash again and you have your second meal. And then in the afternoon, you have a little bit of fruits and vegetables. The idea is to make sure that you don't get too stuffed. When it comes to Tanis Bechorim, as the Kitzur discusses, so first of all, it works like this. The Tanis Bechorim usually ends on the 14th, but you can't do it on the 14th. You're not fasting on Shabbos. So you would think, okay, so fast on Friday, which is when we're burning everything. And the Chatchila, we burn everything before in the same amount of time. At the nighttime, meaning Thursday night, when we do the Bdikas Chametz, we say a bittul for the chametz that we don't know about, meaning that we don't know about. The ones that we know about, we're not being mevatel because we're still keeping b'Shabbos. And when it comes to Tanis Bechorim, since we already pushed it from Shabbos earlier, so we're going to move it to Thursday. Why? Because I want people to walk into Shabbos when they are fasting because they are weak, etc. You're not supposed to come into Shabbos fasting, except there are other people that do fast on Friday. It's a beginning. We'll get back to that one day when we learn Hilchas Shabbos. Now, when it comes to, like I said, the utensils, anything else that the kids are discusses, you have to make sure. What a lot of people do is they eat on the porch or something outside. They have in mind to, when they're washing, to, or at least if they're able to see inside, or they have in mind to eat the rest of the meal inside, and then actually they eat, then go back and they bench, or they have in mind to bench in the house. So there's different eitzes what to do. And the kitzur says, if you have any leftover bread, you should give it to the non-Jew. Just be careful with the laws of eitzah. And you could sweep the house with a not using a non-Jew. Now, why is he saying that? Because in the old days, people didn't have always floor. We're so blessed that we have always floors. And if you have floors, there's no gzera of mashve gumas, meaning usually it was a question of sweeping, because you're basically leveling the floor, which is a shayla of chayos, a shayla of bringer. There's a question of malach and Shabbos. This doesn't apply anymore today. There's no decree. And that is the summary for this today's halacha. Have a beautiful day.